Good afternoon. Bruce is on vacation. My name is Jim Kelly, and I'll have the command chair today. With me in studio, Blake Morlock, columnist for the Tucson Sentinel, and his column you can find is called "What the Devil Won't Tell You." Welcome to the show, Blake.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Blake, you're a fairly brand new grandpappy. How's that going?
Oh, it is going great. I was just saying that, you know, I'm way too young to be a grandfather, of course, except that I'm not. So I've been saying, no, it's not that I'm a grandpa. It's that my daughter had a kid until I held my granddaughter, and I was like, who's grandpa? Yeah, I'm grandpa. So it's like, yes, I'm already done for. I'm wrapped around my granddaughter's finger. So it's going good.
Outstanding. Well, we've got a lot to talk about. It's been an interesting week. We got Joe Biden, who is possibly running for president in 2020, getting nailed by the Me Too movement because, you know, he's been handsy his whole life. He's always been a very affectionate man. Mm-hmm. And Lucy Flores was running for lieutenant governor in Nevada. And she felt very uncomfortable at a campaign stop he made with her, where he's pretty much got his arms around her. He's kissing the back of her head and smelling her hair and making her very, very uncomfortable. Are we going to see more of this?
I think we're going to see more of the idea of a redefinition of what is the line to be crossed. At what level are you... At what level is being uncomfortable just kind of part of life, part of just the whole negotiation of the boy-girl thing, which is really... And he's a married man, by the way, so we got to put that out there, too. But also just the idea of the rapidity, how fast these allegations come up and how social media can spread them really quickly. We've also got... a Republican up in Prescott who's been accused of soliciting boys, but you know, there is such a thing as innocent until proven guilty on both sides. There is, and I wrote a couple columns about this back when it first started to break, which was, we got to figure out how to take people who make these charges seriously, but not necessarily just reach the conclusion that the allegation is 100% believable to the point where you're then knocking somebody out of a job, knocking somebody out of consideration for higher office.
Well, let's take a look at this. All right, so we got Joe Biden, who was Vice President of the United States.
Yeah.
All right. Numerous times that he's been caught on camera being very affectionate towards women, other
towards
than his
everybody.
Wife.
He's,
right,
he's
other
a
than his
guy.
Wife.
He's a hugger.
Other than his wife. So we have David Stringer, Republican from Prescott. In 1983, it was something other than a conviction. Basically, he did 5 years of probation, didn't admit guilt, but the charges were he paid $10 to two boys to basically have sex with him.
Yeah.
And one of the boys returned on numerous occasions for even more sex than you know, for penetratable sex is what I guess they called it. He comes and he retires in Arizona. He runs for office. He gets elected, and you know, he didn't ever tell anybody about these charges in 1983. The record was expunged, but the Phoenix New Times, by accident, got them under a Freedom of Information Act from where he was at, from the state that he was living in when the charges were leveled. So now we've got a problem with that. But so Joe Biden, David Stringer, now we've got, you know, do we believe Smollett simply because he got off? Simply because he was not charged, does that mean Smollett didn't hire two guys to beat him up and fake a hate crime?
But all this gets to the idea of how fast we form opinions because of what we see online, and because when we see something happen, we all feel the need to weigh in before we know all the facts. And I can tell you, just all as right, a journalist, that they call it the first draft of history journalism for a reason. There will be subsequent drafts. Very often what you think is happening is not, you know, there's a broader context. There's more to know. But a lot of this just has to do with the speed with which
we now know things.
And I'm about as bad as anybody else when it comes to somebody said something wrong on the internet and I have to do something about it.
Right.
You have to weigh in. Well, maybe not. Maybe wait and see until the full airing of the facts comes out, until you hear other sides of the story. But with Biden, I think that the issue kind of is going to get wrapped up with his treatment of Anita Hill. And how the base thinks that's a problem, and with kind of his old school approach, he was a liberal back in the 80s. He's kind of a moderate now, but just with a different approach to how.
Do you think the progressive women of the Democratic Party will support a Joe Biden candidacy for president
over Donald Trump? Yes.
Exactly. So so my point is this: you will forgive, right? Mm-hmm. Where all the Republicans are being accused of forgiving Donald Trump for he cheats at golf. He says, you know, stupid things on Twitter. He attacks John McCain. He does all these dumb things on Twitter. Yet the Republican base, still 82% of the Republicans support Donald Trump. That was the last poll that I saw just in the last couple of days. All right. Previously, a Rasmussen poll had him at 92%. Somewhere in there. And 93%, and 52% of the country supported him. That was a Rasmussen poll a week ago. He's down in Republican support at 82%, probably because of the John McCain attacks. But all the other stuff, he's forgiven. He's forgiven if he cheats at golf. He's forgiven for messing around with other women that he wasn't
Nobody
married
cares
to.
If he
he's forgiven
at
for
golf.
Borracho machismo. You know, I mean, that's really what it comes down to sometimes. He doesn't drink, but I call it borracho machismo. You know, the guy at the bar who's going, I'm this good and I'm that good and I'm this great. But he's forgiven for all of that. And you're telling me that the progressive women of the Democratic Party will forgive Joe Biden?
Well, I don't think he'll get the nomination, but I think if he did go through and get the nomination, I think they'd look at somebody who may have planted a kiss too long on the back of somebody's head and say, better him than somebody else, than a president who bragged about how he could go up and grab women by the kitty cat, and that never, you know, that... And you have 13 different women who've come forward.
Yeah, Donald Trump's on tape saying that, but by the same token, Joe Biden doesn't. Okay, regularly in public, and is forgiven for it by the Democrats.
There's a difference between.
Is there a difference between grabbing the kitty cat and unwantingly? And giving unwanted kisses to the back of the head, or unwanted shoulder strokes, or unwanted hugs. Is there any difference to a woman in how they feel about something like that?
Oh, I imagine that there is a gradation of difference. Absolutely. I think that if you asked a woman, you know, would she rather be grabbed and feel like she has absolutely no control over that part of her body, or would she rather, would that be as bad as being kissed on the back of the head? I think that it can make, that there is kind
seduction
of a
belief. Seduction is seduction. Some guys are more ham-handed at their seductions, right?
Well, I mean, there is a degree to which some of this is coming to a head intergenerationally, where there is now If you look at something that happened in Princeton where they had to stop singing the song Kiss the Girl,
right,
because that was toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Although, as somebody who spent a good deal of his early years as the quote-unquote nice guy, I can tell you...
Do you think these kinds of subject matters will eclipse the Second Amendment and abortion as issues for anybody running for office for anything?
How do you mean?
The whole toxic masculinity, 70-year-old white guys running for president.
No, because I think the toxic masculinity stuff, I think a lot, there is a level of Twitter out there that is not representative of the rest of the country. There are parts of the right who are pretty radical, but they don't necessarily speak for the whole Republican Party, the Republican electorate. So no, I think that it'll be that the Democratic voters are to the right of Twitter, substantially.
Okay, all right, there we go. Listen, no, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some more stuff. But I definitely wanted to continue our train of thought. Listening to Inside Track. Phone number to get involved in this conversation is 520-790-2040. I'm Jim Kelly here with Blake Morlock. And we're back. John is at the producer's board today, and I appreciate him being here. I always love doing Inside Track. I'm always grateful when Bruce gives me an opportunity to host the show. I get to bring on my buddy Blake Morlock, who, you know, we argue and go back and forth on these subjects all the time, and I just think it makes for good radio.
And it's fun.
And it's fun. That's right, Blake. So the social issue for the 2020 election, I believe is going to be toxic masculinity. And I think we're going to be looking at things like Beto O'Rourke. Beto O'Rourke is reportedly somebody who does crazy things. I have a caller, Michael. Michael, you've got a comment?
Yeah, you were talking about Joe Biden, who I refer to as Creepy Uncle Joe.
Right.
That guy, I've seen him when he was in office as vice president. He was hugging and kissing women when they're visiting the White House. I mean, how can anybody excuse that behavior? I mean, I don't care what it is. You don't accept that.
Right. And there are probably two things. Number one, men aren't taking him to task for it, because quite frankly, the husbands or boyfriends of those women probably should walk up to the vice president and punch him right in the nose, because Joe Biden, you know, pretty much said he would do the same thing to Donald Trump, right? Yeah. So, you know, how come the men aren't taking Joe Biden to task for this? The other thing is that women need to, you know, immediately say, hey, you know, if I get out of hand, I'm a single guy. I've been married three times. I've got a fantastic girlfriend right now. I call her Crazy Hot. She's crazy hot. She's amazing. And I love her very much. She's one of the most supportive people in the world to me. But I got to tell you, you know, when you're single and you've got, you know, various female friends and things like that, I've had to learn over the years, right? I've had to bring down my own toxic masculinity. I've had to learn over the years that the opening for the hug is on them. If they want to hug me, they will open.
Right.
They'll bring their arms out and say,
yeah,
give me a hug, Jim. If they've kissed me on the cheek, I can give them a kiss on the cheek. But I can't initiate that stuff anymore.
Well,
and,
see, that's where I draw the line.
Right.
If they don't initiate, you know, you need to back off.
Right. Well, it's taken me a while to learn that. You know what I mean? Because, you know.
Well, and that's just the point I was making.
It is appropriate. I agree with you.
And that's the point I was making, is that, you know, things have changed over the years about how men and women relate to each other. And some people are a little slower on the uptake. And I can see a guy where somebody's a vice president and people not wanting to tell. I don't want to tell Joe Biden that he because they probably figure, well, you know, it's harmless enough. But the other thing is that, I mean, to your point, there are people who would just greet people with a kiss on the cheek. It's kind of an Eastern thing, you know, and
right.
It wasn't meant to be like that.
I spent most of my adult life in Europe, man, and guys, you know, Albanian men used to kiss me on the cheek all the time. You know, they would greet me with these big bear hugs and kiss me on the cheek. It's not like I was going up to them going, hey, brother, with my arms open. I was just meeting them for the first time. In Europe throughout, you know, the women did too. I mean, they just automatic. And I grew up in a very affectionate household, you know, all this kind of stuff. So everybody has these personal spaces that are constantly contracting and expanding, and it does get confusing. But my point is this. This is now going to become a political issue.
It could.
Like I said, you know, what David Stringer did in private was illegal. He paid $10 for, you know, the old, you know, the whatever. Anyways, you know, but we're also now dealing with, you know, like I said, Beto O'Rourke, his own wife. This guy reportedly, according to the Washington Examiner and according to a friend said, and Beto hasn't denied it, by the way, said he pulled a bit of poo from his child's diaper, put it in a bowl and served it to his wife, telling her it was an avocado. Now, is that a joke? Is that just a joke between the husband and wife?
You just use a verb. Served it to his wife as if he expected her to eat it, or was he just playing a joke because that's his messed up sense of humor?
Right.
I mean, that's the degree to which it's served, here, honey, eat this, knows what goes on in a marriage.
Exactly.
But and I'm not going to jump into a marriage. I do want to just kind of back up and make sure I get something straight, because you're right. You really do have to look at kind of the woman's reaction, and the woman, and I, both of your points, and the woman has to be able to have the agency to say no without it being a deal. And frankly, guys have to be okay with that.
All right, Paul, you're on the air. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, a couple of items. I have a freight company over in Ohio, and I tell you, when our drivers come into the warehouse and they go over and check in, and the women behind the desk haven't seen a lot of these guys for a week or two, and I guarantee you, when there's any affection shown, it's the women getting up and grabbing the guys behind their behind and pulling them into them and kissing them. But you're saying that if a man did that, it would be a criminal offense.
I don't think we say criminal.
I'm not saying it's a criminal offense. I'm saying that it has become a social offense in American politics.
Yes, and what are we going to do about all the women in our schools that that are seducing these teenage boys, and it's very, very rarely reported, and I don't hear you saying anything about that.
Well, I will tell you something. Simply because we're talking about other subjects in terms of politics, and that's what we're talking about here, is that these are now political offenses, as well as social offenses, and in some cases they are criminal offenses. And you're absolutely right. Any teacher, male or female, seducing any child under the age of 18 is.
That's a crime.
That's a crime. And if it's reported or not reported, I will tell you this, that prior to social media and, you know, being able to take pictures on the phone and have text messages and all that kind of stuff, prior to social media, it still happened. Females did seduce boys in school, and males seduced females in school. That kind of stuff has been going on for a long, long time. Sometimes you're caught, sometimes you're not. I specifically remember a drama teacher in Omaha, Nebraska, that got caught with an underage girl, and the parents basically had the teacher fired. The teacher went off to some other state, and the girl was then pulled from the school that she was in and sent to another school. That's how things got dealt with in those days. Nobody went to jail, you know, and maybe he should have gone to jail. He did commit a crime, but you know, that's life. That's the way things are. Thank you for your call. Lisa, you're on the line.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to chime in as a female, and I would say, yes, there is a major, massive difference between Representative Stringer having the accusations and being on parole or probation for 5 years for paying children, mentally disabled children, for sex versus Joe Biden rubbing a woman's shoulders, I mean, or kissing on the back of the head, or Donald Trump saying he wants to grab women by the genitals, or that he does that, versus, again, you know, a maybe not a wanted hug. So, I mean, we have to be logical and in our discussions and understand that there is a major difference between one side of what you're talking about and the other side.
But let me ask you a question. Politically, is there a difference? I mean,
yes.
Because it's all being wrapped in there now. It's all being thrown in.
It's like reasonable, non-Twitter type people. I think everybody understands that. Yes, there is a major political difference, just as there's a major legal difference, societal acceptance difference. I mean, it's reflective of just what we find acceptable or horrific, and there has to be a spectrum.
Lisa, thank you very much for your comment. Got to go to a break. Again, if you want in on the conversation, 520-790-2040, KVOI, trusted local news and talk. Jim Kelly and Blake Borlaug will be back in a moment. Welcome back to Inside Track. I'm Jim Kelly, guest hosting for Bruce Ash, who is on vacation for the weekend. Blake Borlaug, columnist for the Tucson Sentinel. His column is called What the Devil Won't Tell You. He had a great column the other day about why Ruben Gallego did not go ahead and run for the U.S. Senate, even though he wants it so bad he can taste it. Tell me why Ruben Gallego's not running.
Well, I think he got told, we want a clear shot. We don't want a primary because primaries are bad for the Democratic Party. They're bad. I think there's a general belief that both sides that the primaries are bad for the incumbents or for the preferred candidate. They are kind of bad for the incumbents. But when you have an open seat, I don't necessarily buy that because you engage a broader swath of voters.
And Chris Conover of Arizona 360 on PBS KUAT interviewed both Dr. Kelly Ward, the chairman of the Arizona GOP, and Felicia Rodolini of the Arizona Democratic Party, and he posed the same questions to them about primarying people. Number one, you know, Felicia said yes. I had that conversation with a gentleman just this week, and that gentleman was Ruben Gallego, and it was basically telling him, "We're doing a single shot for Mark Kelly, period. The end. We have to win this seat, and we can't be splitting the party, and most importantly, splitting the money. Right? We're looking at a Senate race that will probably top $500 million in spending." Between Martha McSally and Mark Kelly, I guarantee you that race is going to top $500 million with a B, $500 million at least.
That's an awful lot. But
I'm talking
about the
spending, not just the. Yeah. I'm talking about the PACs, the candidate spending.
Well, it could be the
party
one that
spending.
Flips the Senate. It could very easily be the one that flips the Senate because when you're looking at. Cory Gardner might be gone in Colorado.
Yeah, right.
And then you're looking at, there seems to be a really hot race brewing in North Carolina.
Right.
With a former African-American male of Charlotte going up against Tom Tillis, who just stepped in about as hard as you can step in it over emergency declaration.
Right.
Which is two of the three seats you're going to need. And then that would bring Arizona up next, which seems to be a ripe opportunity for Democrats. So, yeah, there could be a bunch of money in this.
No, I'm talking about one single Senate race. I'm talking about just Arizona.
No, yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I'm just talking about just Arizona.
$500 million
will get spent on that race, I guarantee it.
$500 million is a presidential race. Okay, so let's not get Hillary Clinton raised $600 million in the 2016 cycle. A second, there'll be a lot of money spent. But I think that one of the points that you made, I just want to take a little bit of exception to, was you raise money for the primary and then you raise money for the general. So I don't know that the primary...
Mark Kelly is raising money for a general, brother, and the Democratic Party is raising money for him, for the general. They don't want anybody else in that race so they can concentrate specifically on it. But here's what it means. What it means is that the Arizona Democratic Party ain't Democratic. It's about money, brother, and that's not about democracy. That's not about any government.
They are denying
the people of Arizona, the Democrats of Arizona, they're denying a vote by basically saying we're not primarying. There will be only one person in the primary for the Arizona Senate.
But at the end of the day, they can't do anything to Rubin if he decides to. I mean, if he decided to make the race, they couldn't stop him, and they couldn't.
Yeah, they can. Yeah, they can. What you do is you basically say, "Hey, we'll give you a soft landing, brother. You'll get something." You know, come on.
Well, they could.
On.
No, they can.
They've got the money lined up. Felicia Rodolini's on the phone every single day lining up money. That's all she does all day long. And if Kelly Ward's smart, that's all she should be doing.
Who is she lining the money up with?
Oh, she's lining the money up with Tom Steyer. She's lining the money up
That's not where the money is in the Democratic Party. You got us confused with the Republican Party. The money in the Democratic Party is in the base. It's small dollar donors. It's how Beto raised $70 million in Texas. If you can build that kind of excitement among the base,
I guarantee you, Hollywood money, brother. It's going to be Hollywood money. It's going to be left coast, right coast money.
There's going to be enormous amounts of New York and California money
that goes into this race.
You don't think there's going to be Texas oil money and Wall Street money coming into the race on behalf of Martha McSally? Of course there is. There's going to be out of state money on both of it.
Actually, I think Mark Kelly's going after that money too. We'll see when we start seeing the finance reports.
But my point is that what the Democratic Party has been trying to do for the last 20 years is get Latinos out to vote.
Who do you think Latinos are going to vote for between Mark Kelly and Martha McSally? Who do you think Latinos would be more comfortable voting for?
Oh, I think they're going to break for Mark Kelly.
You think so? Why?
Because they have been breaking Democratic. They voted for Kyrsten Sinema over Martha McSally. So, yeah, they voted for her like 2-1. And the other thing you got to understand is that if you look at the electorate, based on the exit polls, the electorate that Kyrsten Sinema won with was a whiter than the national average electorate. And Hillary voters are underrepresented, and Kyrsten still won. And Latinos represented only about 17% of the vote in 2018.
We'll see what happens.
If you get the Latino vote out.
Well, you know, Donald Trump's threatening to close the border. What does that do to Arizona? Money-wise, everything-wise. Do you think that affects the vote? Do you think that affects the Latino vote? But do you also think it might affect the business vote?
I think the problem that Trump has right now is he's losing white suburban Phoenix voters in mass.
We're looking at retailers all over, retailers that are here in southern Arizona, particularly big box retailers that make boatloads of money during Holy Week when the Mexican tourists come up as shopping tourists. That's what they are. I mean, they come to shop. And if that border gets closed this coming week, that's going to affect Holy Week shopping. It's going to affect the harvest. It's going to affect getting produce across. It's going to affect getting car parts, airplane parts, everything across. Will Jim Click abandon Donald Trump if he can't get his Fords into the lot? That's really what it comes down to, we're going to have to wait and see.
But I think the bigger problem that Republicans have is that they're losing. You got to look at in a more global context. City mouse, country mouse. If Maricopa County flips, like Harris County did, like Dallas County did, where it went from being basically even Beto won Dallas County, I believe, by 27 points.
Welcome to Arizona. Let's get back to Arizona, brother. Let's get back to Arizona.
But it was Salt Lake. Yeah. Salt Lake went 10 points for is breaking 10 points. If Maricopa County, Utah's
going to Mitt Romney if he runs.
If Maricopa County starts following the rest of the world, where the cities are breaking left, there aren't enough rural votes for the Republicans to survive in Arizona. That's their bigger problem, and that's happening without the Latino vote.
Well, Southern Arizona has got some more rooftops coming, and I'm telling you, we are going to be looking at an exodus of conservative Californians that are heading, and guess where they're going to go? They're going to go to Southern Arizona. I don't think they're going to go to Maricopa. I think they're going to go. I think they're going to go to Suarita. I think they're going to go to Marana, Oro Valley. I really do. I think Pima County is going to get a huge influx of California conservatives, and it's going to change the face of the demographics of this county.
Well, that's a prediction for what may happen down the road, but I don't think it's going to happen by 2020. And it doesn't
and
you're talking about the exurban vote, which is its whole other thing, which we don't have that thing in Arizona. I mean, you look at the rural vote in Arizona. It doesn't break that right, not compared to the exurbs of Atlanta or other places like that.
Well, if you start throwing in the nations, the Navajos, the Apaches, the Yaquis, Pascua Yaquis, when you start throwing those in because they're rural,
yeah,
you start saying, well, that's a rural vote. You're right.
I'm talking Yavapai County is only about 2-1, but you look at some of those counties, like I say, in other states, those exurban counties, they break 4-1 Republican, and they're huge.
But ours don't. Our rural vote doesn't because of the nations, right?
I'm not sure Yavapai County, but Dona Odom
and Pascua Yaqui almost always vote liberal, don't you think?
And that's why I think it could come down to Apache and Navajo County. Those could be the two swing counties if you start getting really close races where there's like 10,000 votes flip either way in those two counties.
You think Mark Kelly is going to be comfortable in Yavapai County or Navajo or Apache County?
I think he can get comfortable. It's not that hard. I spent a lot of time on reservations, and you know, at first it's a little bit of culture shock, but then you kind of it doesn't take that. It's slowing down.
Right.
You just gotta kind of have to take a beat, and kind of like what New Yorkers say when they come out here.
Mm.
You know, you just gotta slow down a little bit.
Right.
And yeah, I think he can. I don't think. Yeah, I think he'll be fine on the reservations. He's an astronaut. He's a military guy. Huge military populations out on reservations. A lot of pride, a lot of patriotism out there too. So I think he'll do okay. I think he's in great shape for 2020, but we don't know how good of a campaigner he is. That's the question.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to touch on a few things, and I'm going to introduce you to a new friend of mine who's starting a business in Southern Arizona. Inside Track, KVOI, trusted local news and talk. Jim Kelly sitting in for Bruce Ash. Welcome back to Inside Track. I've got a new friend that I want to introduce you guys to. His name is Antonio Pieri, or Pieri, however way you want to say it. And he owns an auto detailing, a mobile auto detailing company called Enigma. And what's good about this is, small businessman, you were raised in Tucson, is that right?
Yes, I am. I was born here. I was raised on the west part of town. I lived on the east side for a long time.
Outstanding. So. How long ago did you start this business, the mobile detailing business?
Well, we started the detail service back in probably November, and it jumped off pretty good. We started off really good. We were with another company as well.
Right. Now, when you, was your very first mobile detailing just, you know, going on social media and saying, hey, I'll do your car, give me a call, or did you do what you're doing now?
Well, what we do, okay, so the social media thing, I had my own personal social media, such as Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. Now, I didn't create a Facebook page until recent because we were waiting for, you know, allegations, legal, you know. And it turned out pretty good. The clientele that we have now is not too bad. With the clientele at our location, we do have mobile service Monday through Wednesday. We're mobile. Thursday through Saturday, we're located at the dive bar.
And 420 time.
From 11 to 5. So.
Right. Right. So you are mobile, and I've seen the trailers. I've seen all the stuff that you guys do. I mean, you guys come out. I have seen the work that you have done on a number of my friends' cars. There's a guy with the white BMW that you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
he's got a lot of brig dirt. So.
Yeah. He comes in, and I mean, you just make that thing look like it's brand spanking new.
Thank you.
Every single time he brings it in. Yeah, so, they're amazing detailers.
And we are a team. There is a team. Each and one of us have a specialty in every bit
Francisco
of the car.
Francisco and Angelina.
Yes.
Right?
My cousin Francisco Gonzalez, they call him the General. He's an awesome person. He does all the inside. He's real texture, real tedious. He gets everything gone. Angelina, she's the Princess Carrillo. She's our window girl and inside girl. She gets down on cleaning. Stains. You know, she gets on the carpets. They get down on the inside. And I deal with the dirt and grime. Right. I get the tires, the wheels, the engines. You know, whatever.
Right.
And it comes out immaculate, and that's the point of Enigma. You know, don't worry. Let us worry.
Yeah.
You know. Well, let us do that for you.
What I really like about it is your ability to go mobile. You could go to a restaurant, their parking lot, and where there's regular clientele. Whether it be Dive Bar and 420 Taco are co-located.
Right.
So you go there. They have a regular clientele. I know. The lunch, Blake and I have eaten lunch there a couple of times. The food is fantastic.
Yeah, it's really good there.
So these people get to know you, and they go, hey, they can have my car done while I'm sitting here eating lunch or eating dinner.
Yeah, I mean, and how many places can you do that?
Yeah.
Well, we have different types of washes. So we have what's called a premiere. It's $20. We do your whole outside. Clean everything off, dry it off really good. And we have it $35. Which is inside, outside. You get your floor mats washed off. You get everything wiped and cleaned down from the windows to the body to the tires to the wheel wells. Clean it up real good. Your $70 deal, which is $35 is the 5-star. Then we have our Paradox, which is a $70. And it's the entire car from the engine to the trunk or the bed and chassis, wheel wells, everything.
Listen, I could go to some of the half you run your car through the machine, and then the other half you have to do yourself. You have to clean the inside yourself. Yeah. You have to do everything yourself.
The thing
and
with the tunnels,
it's $25. It's between $20 and $25 just to get the super extra clean to run it through a machine.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. And the thing with the machine, it messes up your car too. The tunnels, they say they're self cleaning, and to a certain extent. And they really mess up the paint, on the hoods, all in your hood. As soon as
every time I put my car through the machine, there's always like little pieces of the plastics or the whatever.
Other cars that they've stripped their own. Yeah.
What made you decide to go mobile?
So the deal about mobile is because there's already car washes, Mister's good company. They got Octopus, Mister's. There's Clean Freak, the tunnel, the thing about being located is like everybody knows where you are. They can come to you. Now the specialty of being Enigma coming to you, you can sit at home. You don't want to go to a bar or you don't want to sit where you are. You want to be at home to get your car done. We come to you, get your car done, swift a lot, we're gone. Right. There's nothing wrong with sitting at home, having somebody come get your car done, and you don't have to do a thing.
Right.
But sign an invoice.
Right.
That's all you got to do. Sorry, I have to make you trouble, but you're going to have to sign an invoice. it's being mobile, honestly, is it kind of keeps us in that rotation of keeping everything together. Located is fine. We have the clientele in our location. We bring the people there, they come to them, but a lot of people don't have time for it, A lot of people don't have time to come sit down or do things, and they're like, well, they're at work all the time. Well, we can go to your work, we can go to your house.
I just like the fact that you don't have to. You're not sitting there waiting for your car, for an hour to be detailed, and having to watch them like hawks and things like that, because you could just look out the window and see what they're doing to you, or doing to your car while you're eating.
Yeah.
That's the great thing I like about that.
Yeah, good food, good drinks. Get your car done.
So you're not sitting there with your grumbling tongue. I'm going, oh man, I got to get the car done, and I only got an hour for lunch. You can get the car done and eat lunch,
or you can get the car
done or whatever
before you go to lunch, because they'll come to your place earlier.
That's the thing too, if you're close or where you are, we are a team, so we can have one person come get your vehicle, get it done, and drop it off.
How many cars do you knock out in a day? I mean, a good day.
Located or mobile?
Well, mobile. I mean,
Well, a few. More than 5, more than 10 if we really push in. And a full, we get more than full details because our mobile service is 5 stars and paradoxes. So,
right.
You know,
it's got to be worth getting going.
Of course, you know, because we have people in Marana, we have people in Vail, go wherever. So, like, we'll go.
Right.
And of course, it's got to be worth it. So, and honestly, the thing about being mobile too is sometimes we'll be one place. One person sees one, then another, and it just builds a ladder, and they come up to us, and it just works out.
I have one other question. Do you, like, have a passion for taking things that aren't clean and
making
them clean?
Oh, yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, if you can, okay, so the thing.
All three of them have OCD, I swear.
It's like, okay, so the gentleman he was talking about earlier with a white Beamer, he's got a brake pattern, you know, it's got the brake dust, so it builds up, you know, right. And it'll destroy his rims. And right. I deal with that.
Right.
You know, I break down the dirt and I get it done, get it cleaned. So I got specialty rags, specialty wipes, and bring that chrome out clean. Body-wise, you know, that's nothing.
Right.
We have built-in soaps with wax. We have phenomenal waxes, paste, clay bars, you know. So
when you're driving down the street and you see, like, that car needs.
Oh, it's like, since I've been doing this, it's been like a... it's been like a thing. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I was in the middle of the street waiting at a light. I've seen guards with nice cars, you know. Right. I'll jump out middle street, come talk to me. Come talk to me. And I'm gonna hook this car up, you know, to the fullest. And it's it makes it clean. Like, that's the thing I like to do, is make something that didn't look the way, and then, like, make it pop, just like, whoa. Because that's a lot of people's reaction. It's like, whoa, dang. You know, it's like, it's
kind of like the old Queer Eye show when they'd redo the guy's house.
And
you'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is my house.
And it looks good. I mean, people have been amazed. You know, and,
well, that's the thing, too, is about, you know, anybody that starts a small business, I mean, they have a passion for what they're doing. One way or the other.
They should. Yeah, of course.
And my passion is promoting businesses for small businesses on the South Side. I mean, that's just my passion. I want everybody to succeed down there, and particularly, you know, these people with passions to do something different than, you know, the 9-to-5 kind of thing.
That's the thing. You make your own schedule, build your own money, and it works out. And you do what you like to do. You know, it works out all in the end.
All right.
And take control.
Of course. I mean, that's in the motion, but, you know.
Right. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get hassled? Was there a problem, or was it complicated to get your business license and to get this thing going?
No. Yeah. No. I mean, nowadays everything is just easy to just. You know, now it's just like, you got money, you can buy this and this, and you have this now.
Right.
You know, and it's like the legal license.
You're a young guy. How old are you?
I'm actually 22.
You're 22 years
22
old.
Years old.
This guy knows how to use apps. He knows how to make things happen on social media, everything. And it takes that now, right? I mean, you literally could run the financial side of your business with your phone.
Yeah, of course. And it's like not just me as well. You know, it's me, Frankie. You know, it's the team. It's always going to be the team.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, we're going to build. It's small business, big future.
Right. Right.
Supreme process and keen results.
There you go.
You know?
I was going to ask about, there are some places like apartment complexes that won't let you wash your car.
Well, that's why we'll move them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got like, get the sun out of the way, we'll block it, put it in the dark, get it done.
Right.
That's the thing.
They set up plastic tents to
block it.
To block
the sun. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and the thing with, like, cars being in the sun, in the dark, in the shade, you know, clean difference. Being in the sun, everything's going to dry faster no matter what you're doing, whether it's wax or windows. Mm-hmm. So to do it in deep shade, get it done, and we're very, very particular. So we're looking at every little bit, everything. There's got to be no water drips, you know, everything. And we move it. And when it's in the sun, you can tell. And you're
How does people get a hold of you? How do they find out about you so they can get their cars
detailed? Yeah, no problem. I have a Facebook page. It's under Enigma Detail Service. It's Enigma Detail Mobile Hand Wash. Everything is set up there. Or you can call my number at 520-585-3251. Set up an appointment. We can come to you or you come to us and grab up.
Do you have a website or any kind of a...
Not yet. Social media at this point. So the website's a little expensive, so we're waiting to get that.
Everybody go get your pens or open up your phone so you can write this phone number down. What's that phone number?
520-585-3251.
3251. All right, Antonio, it has been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so very, very much. Blake, what are we looking at for next week? What are we looking at for the month? What do you think the big Mueller stuff is going to pull out from our country for the next week?
I think everybody should learn a lesson that not to jump to conclusions before you know. And until you see the report will come out. We'll see, you know, and if it's heavily redacted, Mueller will testify. We're going to find this stuff out. It's not going to be hidden.
Do you think Democrats are at risk on this report?
Hmm?
Do you think Democrats are at risk on this report as well?
No, we didn't tell Trump to go meet with the Russians.
All the Republicans are saying, yeah, let's we want to see the whole darn thing.
I think the only risk is if Democrats say no, there was a conspiracy, as opposed to simply Russia operating like a super PAC for Trump, where they came in, they helped. Trump knew they were helping him, and then they collected on the back end.
Do you buy my theory that it was a complete disinformation campaign by the Russians to sow chaos and discontent?
Well, I think it was meant to sow that they want to sow chaos and discontent, but I also think they got a couple of things out of it.
What do you think they got out of it?
They got sanctions relief. They got Putin wanted the. And they also got Deripaska got some specific sanctions relief, I think. And NATO.
All right. Blake, thank you very much for being on the show with me.
No problem. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, rest in peace, Don Diamond, one of the great real estate developers of Southern Arizona. Rest in peace. He was a good man. He did good things for our desert. He did good things for our community. Inside Track. Have a great weekend. I'm out.